Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable, respected, beloved elders and brothers, once in Makkah Mukarramah, amidst the persecution that was taking place amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu being dragged on the hot sands of Makkah, other Sahaba being persecuted in other ways, some are being choked, some are being whipped, others are being lashed. One Sahabi comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he is reclined against Kaaba, that when is the victory going to come? Are you not going to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the victory? And that is possibly every believer's heart is asking the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear in the Quran, Nasrum min Allahi wa fathun qareeb. The help of Allah, the nusrat of Allah is qareeb, it is close. How close? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not say. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now sits up from the reclining position and he says that the victory of Allah will come, but you people are in haste. Allah will bring such fatah, Allah will bring such victory, that a traveler will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut in Yemen, and there will be not a person that will touch the traveler, and the traveler will never be in a state of fear. Brothers and friends, throughout this week in this masjid, different aspects of Palestine, the Gaza, Al-Quds, Masjid Al-Aqsa, alhamdulillah, was discussed by various ulama, Allah reward them all. The one aspect that is now left is our response to the present crisis, and Allah forbid if there is crisis ahead. When we look through the history of Al-Aqsa, the Islamic history, the one conqueror was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we all know. And then we see the second conqueror that we all heard of, his name Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah. Lots of effort has been made by both Islamic writers and also non-Islamic historians on the life of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah. And there is consensus on the fact that he was a great warrior, he was a great leader, a strategist, a person who understood war to the best at that particular time on the surface of the earth. Now they are the unspoken words with regards to Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah. And this has also been articulated by non-Muslims. And that is, what were the basic foundations of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah? And what was the personality of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah? Was it all about war? Was it all about strategy? Or was there something else within Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah that not only liberated Al-Aqsa, but created a renaissance in the Islamic world? So today we will discuss some of the principles and personalities of Salahuddin Ayyubi. Friends, this is for me, and it is for you to learn, to understand, imbibe, and bring into our lives. When we look at the history or the condition of the Ummah before Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah had come to leadership, then we will find that from the political aspect, the Ummah was in disarray. You had multiple dynasties in different regions of the Islamic world at that time. I'm not going to go into the details. But one is, you had the Seljuks, you had the Abbasis, you had the Fatimids. Fatimids, you know, were Shias that was ruling over Egypt and a great part of Palestine at that time. On the other hand, the sectarian aspect of this Ummah, you had the Shias, you had the Sunnis, you had a group of people that probably we even haven't heard of, like the Mu'tazilat. They had different beliefs from the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So when leadership came to Salahuddin Ayyubi, it didn't come on a golden platter. It was not a silver spoon that was given to him. When he had gained leadership of Egypt, he was only 20 years old. And this is mind-boggling, that going forward from 20 years old and to acquire the leadership at the age of 20, look at me when I was 20, look at you when you were 20, look at our children when they were 20, where are they? Are they in a position to lead their own lives? So there had to be something, there had to be some influences on Salahuddin Ayyubi that brought about this change. He understood one thing for sure, life was not a joke. He understood that there was this mission, there was this kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that had to be defended. Nonetheless, when we look at Salahuddin Ayyubi, 20 years old, he gains leadership in Egypt, and he immediately understood that there is this liberation of Al-Aqsa that is urgent. And Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah does not go forward with that aspect of his life for the next 13 years. What does he spend 13 years in? The first aspect was to create unity between the different dynasties, to create unity between the different rules. Remember, some of them were just ruling cities. They had their flag planted and they were happy. There was income, the Baytul Mal, the wealth of the people, and it was being squandered. But Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah understood that for this Ummah to gain victory and to liberate Al-Aqsa, the urgent need number one is to create unity in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Friends, while we're sitting in the house of Allah, Allah give us that spirit. Allah give us that spirit. If the Ummah is disunited, that's another thing. But many of us work to the disunity of the Ummah in the name of Islam. And that becomes a very difficult thing for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Go back to the Battle of Badr, Surah Al-Anfal. Allah speaks about different aspects of Badr. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? وَأَتِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا. Be obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Two commands. And then one prohibition, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not create dissension and unity amongst your ranks. We agree, وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Unity is based on Quran. Unity is based on the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah. It is based on the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is based on the Aqeedah of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We all agree with that. But as let us also agree to disagree. Many instances, we agree on 99 aspects. We have a difference of opinion in one. And we will make that one so big that the 99 falls off. Allah give us the tawfiq. Salahuddin Ayyubi had a scribe by the name of Al-Adil. And he often said that the pen of Al-Adil is the sword of Salahuddin. Al-Adil himself narrates that once Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah was left all alone in his tent. And again, friends, ask the question, where did Salahuddin live? He had no address, he had no home. If you want to know something else, Salahuddin Ayyubi had never performed a single Hajj in his life. His preoccupation in the liberation of Al-Aqsa and in uniting the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him so preoccupied that it short-lived him from making that momentous journey to the Haramain Sharifain. But nonetheless, Al-Adil goes into the tent of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah, and lo and behold, he finds this man crying. He says that the tears had not only moistened and wet his cheeks, it had wet his beard, and now it was dripping on his clothing. His sword is up in the air, and he asked him after a while, O Salahuddin, what makes you cry? He says, the sword of the believers are being used more amongst and against themselves than against the crusaders. So brothers, that was one of the very fundamental aspects of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah's life of bringing this ummah together. And alhamdulillah, he achieved that in a short span of 13 years. In that 13 years, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah had also seen another very great weakness amongst the Muslims. And this again, let us introspect and take stock of our lives. That the ummah lacked the understanding of deen. The ummah was detached and disassociated from the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that 13 year period, and even after the victory of Al-Aqsa and right till the end of his life, this was an effort that he gave his every second towards. He opened up what was called Nizamiyas in those days. Nizamiyah, what we will call a maktab or a madrasa, where children and adults will go, where ulama will teach the deen of Allah and the very basics of Islamic education. And again, unfortunately, brothers, do the reflection. Today, where do we send our children? Today, where do we send our children? And if we are sending them to madrasas, do we prioritize Islamic education? Is it something that is priority number one in the life of a family, a parent, a child? And this is where Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah had spent much of his time so that people will learn the deen of Allah. Remember, this is that process of preparing the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those were the two very basic fundamentals or principles of the life of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah. Obviously the third, you will know, was his participation in jihad fi sabilillah. And the fourth was the liberation of Al-Aqsa. Many an individual has reported that until Al-Aqsa was not liberated, Salahuddin Ayyubi never smiled, let alone a laugh. Measure ourselves to this. And once a person commented, Salahuddin, we don't ever see you smile. He said, how can this face wear a smile? And how can food and even water taste good when Al-Aqsa is occupied by the enemies? Now I just want to take you to the other side. And that is, what was he up against and who was he up against? We all know it was the Crusaders. But what was some of the hallmarks of the Crusaders? To understand this great battle that he had fought for the liberation of Al-Aqsa. We all may know that it was Pope Urban II that had written out the decree. It was poverty, Europe was poverty stricken, and now they needed some wealth. And again, and again, and again, and these are the lessons, in the name of religion, that go and deal with the infidels, destroy the infidels. That was such a decree. Friends, in a place called Marra, that is present day in Syria, when the Crusaders had come in and they invaded, today we lament the death of children, and friends, I will also agree, leave one life, one drop of Muslim blood is too valuable. And one blood that is spilled of a Muslim should be mourned. But what they did to the children in Marra was they slaughtered the children. They mutilated their bodies. They threw it, the pieces, into a pot. It was cooked and eaten. That was the Crusaders, if you want to understand it. On the other side, the intentions were so sinister and so evil that the decision had been made that to capture the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarrama and Madinah Munawwara, and so that the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be exhumed and removed from there, to create that flame of anger and to multiply that flame of anger of the Muslims. Salahuddin Ayyubi nonetheless hears of that plan, and that navy that was on its way en route in the Red Sea, he has it intercepted, and he checks that attack on the Haramain Sharifain, and the Haramain Sharifain had been saved. Now they themselves have stated, and this is the famous quotation, that if you want to understand the bloodbath of Al-Quds, of Jerusalem, in the vicinity of Al-Aqsa, then understand it by the fact that we rode our horses. The Crusaders say this, we rode our horses with the blood of the Muslims reaching the knees and the bridles of our horses. Can you think and comprehend how many hundreds of thousands of lives? But they themselves claim it was 70,000 Muslims. 70,000 Muslims that they had slaughtered. And Salahuddin Ayyubi understood that there has to be adequate preparation, and that preparation would have to be based on a very, very fundamental level. And friends, this is the call for each and every one of us, that we have to become very, very fundamental Muslims. We have to go back to our deen. We have to bring back this iman. Last night the ayah was quoted, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. We spend hours of grief and it is good. We spend hours of worry and concern, it is good. But Allah Ta'ala is consoling each and every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is Allah giving us solace. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You will certainly be dominant on the earth, but there is just one condition. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you bring perfect iman in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now when we look at the personality, the character rather, of Salahuddin Ayyubi, and the kind of deen, the kind of life that he led, the very first that we will look at Salahuddin Ayyubi in the light of the kind of generosity that he had. Remember that Al-Aqsa in that period, in the hands of the Crusaders, was 88 years. If today a Muslim finds difficulty in entering Al-Aqsa, in that 88 years, leave a salah, leave an adhan, leave one sajda that was not performed in that masjid, not even a subhanallah. A Muslim was nowhere near Al-Aqsa for 88 years. And Salahuddin Ayyubi had developed these characters within himself, which are, we will use the colloquial term, the common term, the winning formula. Number one, generosity. He had that spirit of generosity that even his enemies knew that Salahuddin Ayyubi is a generous and a just person. In a period of 3 years, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah had given out in charity 12,000 horses. Now if we equate the horse to the common conveyances we have, and this was all for people to participate in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Insofar as the salah, the namaz of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah, and Allah grant us all the spirit that he never performed salah without jamaat. He never performed salah without jamaat. Remember, in his circumstances possibly and probably he wouldn't have gotten to a masjid all the time being on the battlefield. But whenever he would perform salah, it will be in jamaat. And now the very big question comes to me and it comes to you. How do we fare? If that's the mirror image, where am I? Brothers, and again, remember that Al-Aqsa is the barometer of the Iman and the Amal, not of the Palestinians, not of the people of Gaza, the West Bank, or any other place in the region. It is the barometer of the Amal, of the Ummah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No sooner do we change, and we bring about these deeds, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will show us that victory. Inshallah. To the end, Salahuddin Ayyubi, when he got very sick, then even if it was one person, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah will continue to perform salah in jamaat. The third aspect, very quickly, was his attachment to hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Mubarak hadith was being recited, Salahuddin Ayyubi will immediately sit down and listen attentively. We will be sitting in a bayan, we will be talking amongst ourselves, whilst Qala Allah and Qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is spoken about, we think nothing about it. We think absolutely nothing about the hadith or the Quran Sharif. And then the third aspect was his attachment to Quran. He was a person of Quran. He was a person that made sure that every child in his dynasty had learned the Quran, and when they spoke about learning the Quran, they spoke about the recitation, the correct recitation of the Quran, the understanding of the meaning of the Quran, and everything else related to the sciences of the Quran. And brothers and friends, he would always remain in the environment of ulama, of qurra, of qaris, and he would always take advice from them. But one very important aspect would be that when Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah had come to the last part of his life, the last 3 days were very difficult for him. He was ill, he was sick. And Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah continuously requested that the Quran Sharif be recited. And the Quran Sharif was being recited. And on the third day, the Qari recites Surah Tawbah, Surah At-Tawbah, and as he comes to the end of the Surah, لَقَدَ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. If they turn away, say Allah is sufficient for me. La ilaha illahu. At that point, he lifts his finger and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. As la ilaha illahu is being recited, he leaves this world. The Mubarak hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the way you live is the way you will leave this world. He remained his entire life steadfast and dedicated to the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala took him in a state where he was most dedicated to the kalima. When he had left, lo and behold, he had not left that amount. Although he would have been a recipient of the booty and the spoils of war that he had won, but he had not left that amount of money that was sufficient to purchase his own coffin. Where are we? Brothers, let us change our fikr and concern. Yes, our hearts and our souls will go out for the people of Gaza, and it should. But let us heighten our concern and our effort. And the concern and our effort should be the people of Gaza, and defend the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In trying to defend the kalima la ilaha illallah, learn the strategy from Salahuddin Ayyubi, that we need to reinstate that state of iman, that state of yaqeen, so that when this heart latches to Allah and we lift our hands, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will respond. May Allah ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.